Our last little time together, you guys. You've all been wonderful. I really, really enjoyed you. And you've been nice and friendly. I made lots of new friends and wish I could have just had conversations with each of you. Becky, thank you for letting me shoot your gun. That was really cool. My husband's going to be so proud of me. Okay. I do have to rush right out, so I just want to say bye, and it's really, really been special to be with you. Let's open in prayer. Lord, this is one of my favorite sessions, and I thank you that I get to share it with the ladies before I go and leave them with these special encouraging truths. And Lord, I thank you for being our good shepherd. I thank you for the songs that we sang this morning. I thank you that what you ordain is always right. And there were so many things in that song that are going to be in this session. And I just am grateful for the way you orchestrate so many little things. Lord, I thank you for these really wonderful ladies. And I ask that you would bless each one of them. Lord, whatever trial they're going through, please take care of them. And just as we're going to be talking about, guide them. We know that you are the great and good shepherd, and you alone can meet their needs, whatever they are. I thank you for the Holy Spirit who dwells in each believer and who will just help them and comfort them and show them truth and lighten their eyes. And I pray that you would bless each one. Help me in this time to communicate your truth in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so our title for this session is Righteousness. And it's about the shepherd guiding. Let me see, is it moving? Whoops, I went too far. I went way too far. I skipped, there it is. Guiding his sheep. Shepherds guide their sheep. That's what they do. Their job, the third job of a shepherd, is guidance. The shepherd... Here's a quote. The shepherd was a guide. The sheep didn't need to know where the green pastures or still waters were. All they needed to know was where the shepherd was. The shepherd would guide the sheep to what they needed. Psalm 78 talks about how God guided the children of Israel. But he made his own people to go forth like sheep and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. And he led them on safely so that they feared not, but the sea overwhelmed their enemies. I love that. That's where it is with all of us, isn't it? God is guiding each of his sheep. Sheep follow their shepherd. This one's behind his shepherd, but behind his sheep, but sheep are supposed to follow their shepherd. Let's look at John 10, 3 through 5. Remember in the morning when the shepherd comes and he calls to his sheep, I want us to pay special attention to some different words in these verses. And the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Oh, I keep skipping somehow. There. This is a really, I love this picture of the shepherd in front of the little flock of sheep, and they're just staying right close together and following right behind their shepherd. Sheep are followers, and so shepherds commonly lead by going before them. Sometimes they go behind, but most of the time they lead their sheep. The word follow really is a fascinating word, and I hope you guys will... enjoy, many of you already do this, but just looking up the meanings of words. If you don't know how to do that, ask your pastor, because it's so much fun to see what words actually mean. But this one does mean that to follow one who goes in front of them, who precedes them. But it also means companionship. I thought that was really cool, and discipleship. So it means to accompany him, to become or be his disciple. And this one's really cool, to side with his party. It makes me think of the political scenes. You side with one party or the other. And right now, there's that stark contrast going on but I couldn't help but think of that comparison because it's similar to, we either side with Satan's party or we side with God's party. And there's an eternity of difference between the two. Okay, here's that next one that kept wanting to show up. Sheep blindly following one another. They follow the one in front of them. They have that tendency. And that's a problem. It can be a problem with sheep because they often just follow blindly along behind the one that's in front of them. In the While Shepherds Watch Their Flocks book, there was this illustration. It happened on an inauspicious July day in 2005. First, one sheep jumped to its death, then another, and another, and then dozens more. Having left their herds to graze while they ate breakfast, stunned Turkish shepherds now watched as nearly 1,500 others leapt off the same cliff. The first 400 animals died under the billowy pile. So that's just one of the problems. Sometimes sheep will just blindly, see that one in the lead? They just blindly take off, and they're going down the road, and all the other sheep are just following right along behind them. And they're following the wrong ones. They should be following their shepherd instead of other sheep. And you know that you can understand what the illustration there would be for us. The application is that we can so often blindly follow another sheep that really may be taking us in a wrong direction, or we can blindly follow our own selves. We talked about our own way. Or many times there are false teachers that people become a fan of, you know, on a radio or television program, and they're following unbiblical teaching. And that's why it's so important to make sure that you're in a church where they teach the Bible. They teach it always, in all times. And because if not, sheep can sometimes even well-meaningly go down a wrong path and can end up in destruction. A good shepherd always leads his sheep. We'll go to Psalm 23 now. Whoop. Oh, there it is. Psalm 23b, he leadeth me, let's say this one together, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. So our good shepherd always leads us in right paths, paths of righteousness. Okay, little PowerPoint there. This is a really neat picture of sheep being led. I feel like there must be a shepherd in the front there too, one because it's such a large flock. But isn't that pretty? That just reminded me of a path of righteousness because it's so beautiful with the fall colors and the water. But righteousness literally does mean he leads us in right paths. And when he does, our paths are pleasant. A caution that I want to mention is that these paths do not lead one to obtain righteousness. It's not our righteousness or our good works that save us, like just thinking that we have to do these duties and everything will be great. But Titus 3:3-7 says, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived." That sounds kind of like sheep, doesn't it? "Serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior." The only way we can obtain righteousness is through Christ. We have to put on his robes of righteousness. It's not our works that save us. And so I wanted to clarify that. It's not us just doing right and getting to heaven by our works. But once we are saved and clothed in his righteousness, then he wants us to be like him, and he leads us in paths of righteousness. We talked about how sheep are led by still waters, but they're also sometimes led in challenging, scary, and uncomfortable places. And that will be our next verse. Oops. Oh, here's another picture where he leads us in paths of righteousness. I really like that one too, because look at the glow in front. It's kind of like his path is actually taking us to heaven eventually. And but sometimes we do have to go through the valley of the shadow. So let's read this together. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Here's a quote by F.B. Meyers. There are other walks by which the shepherd is leading us to our home, not always by the gentle streamlet flow, but sometimes by the foaming torrent, not always over the delicate grass, but sometimes up the stony mountain track, not always in the sunshine, but sometimes through the valley of the shadow of death. But whatever way it is the right way, and it is home. Christ's leadings are always along paths of righteousness. And you know, because Jesus is good, and because of all the promises in his good word, whatever he brings into my life and the lives of those I love is good. And sometimes that's hard for us to believe, isn't it? When it hurts, or when it's painful, or when there's deep, deep distress. But you know, the songs that we were singing today, God's ways are always right, and he leads us in those paths. And our job as little sheep is to trust and believe that our good shepherd, what he's doing, is good. And if I believe what the Bible says, and I do, and I feel like many of you do as well, because that's why you're here, and that's why you're faithfully in your local churches, because you believe the truth that God has given to us. But then we can have true joy, even in the middle of those difficult valleys. I was listening to some messages on this, and two of the messages brought this out, and I thought it was really cool. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. The word through means, though, means that it is going to happen. The word through means each of us will experience valleys and eventually death, but it's not our destination or our dwelling place. We just pass through it onto heaven. I have a friend, Tom Farrell, who has brain cancer right now, and when he was meeting with his surgeon, he said, you cannot threaten me with heaven. I just thought that was such a good way to put it. And then thou, that's the important word. It changes the whole experience of going through the valley. The whole scenario is different, because the good shepherd goes with us through the valley. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. That's one of my favorite categories in my notebook on God. God, my God is with me. And there are many, many pages on that one. My 2020 calendar, I got a Lang calendar this year, and it was called The Lord is My Shepherd. And I actually bought one for my little grandson. We've had a little adopted grandson, adopted from Thailand when he was 18 months old. But he's 10 now, and he has been a complete rebel. It's scary. You wouldn't think of a little guy that young being able to be a rebel. And it has just broken our hearts. And we pray and pray and pray for God to save that little guy. But his mom said he loves calendars, so I bought him a Good Shepherd and Sheep calendar. And I thought, I'm going to buy myself one too, so I can see what he's seeing every month. And the one for the Valley of the Shadow of Death, when I flipped to it, I thought, that is the strangest picture that she chose. Here it is. Oops, that's Valley of the Shadow of Death one. I forgot to click on that one. There are dark times. That picture just looks like, you know, a lot of times when the sheep are going through the valley, it's not a pretty place to go through. That's an exact type of a picture. They're led through dark and scary places where there can be robbers and all kinds of things that go through there. So, sorry, forgot that one. This was the calendar picture. I thought, that's the one she chose for the Valley of the Shadow of Death. But you know, the more I thought about it, the more I thought that the believer is walking through, and even though we're in these difficult times, We don't have to panic and run. You know, we can just walk calmly because the shepherd is walking with us. He's our companion. He's our constant guide. So when you go through the valley of the shadow of death with somebody, it can actually be a peaceful time. I don't know if any of you have gotten to sit with someone who is on their final moments. My sister and I got to be with my mom when she was breathing her last, and she was 93 years old, and she her life was not easy. She and my dad separated when I was a senior in high school, and she was alone a good much of her life. And but she had her shepherd, and she always ran to scripture. She listened to tons of sermons. She followed certain pastors like Don MacArthur and some of the others that are really biblical. And she loved giving the gospel to everybody. Like she said, a repairman came to my house today and I gave him the gospel. It was just so cute. And she adopted all these young men who would come and just treat her like a mom. And she just listened to their problems and counseled them. And when she was 90, she fell and broke her hip and ended up eventually breaking the other hip and had to go in the nursing home. And she kept saying, are you, she would, my visitor, that she lived in New Hampshire, and when I go to visit her, she'd pull me close, and she'd say, are you praying that I can go to heaven? Yes, Mom. You know, and she kept saying, I just want to go to heaven and dance a little jig on the streets of gold. So when she died, she breathed her last, and my sister and I were there, and I said, Mom, go to Jesus and dance your little jig on the streets of gold. But she walked through the valley very sweetly, and so I thought, you know, actually, that probably is an appropriate picture. Truth number 12, no matter what trial comes or what the future holds, sheep don't need to fear if they follow wherever their good shepherd leads them, because he is good and he is always with them. So why should we follow Jesus? We don't go down paths of righteousness so we're going to feel good about ourselves, feel like we're doing good, or so that others will think well of us. Or because it's our Christian duty to do it. Let's see what God says. Let's say this together. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. That's why we go through the paths of righteousness, for his name's sake. Philip Keller, eventually, he bought this derelict property that was terrible, and he nurtured it back to health, and eventually had this beautiful ranch. And he had a very flourishing flock. Everybody admired his flock, but it reflected well on his ability as a shepherd. And so you can see how that translates to us, don't you? As sheep, we reflect on our good shepherd's character and his reputation. And so our job is to live for his glory. Hebrews 13:20 says, now the God of peace that brought us again, brought again from the dead, our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. That's our job. Spurgeon said, it is to the honor of our great shepherd that we should be a holy people walking in a narrow way of righteousness. You know, shepherds buy sheep because they are meant to be useful to them. They don't just buy them so they can take care of them. They buy them because they want them to be useful. And shepherds go to all these lengths of sacrifice and care for that very reason, to make the sheep useful. So our job as sheep is to be well-pleasing and useful to our good shepherd and to bring him glory with our lives. But why should we want to follow the shepherd if it's so hard sometimes? For one thing, I had a friend who one time told me, she said, I might have cancer. And she said, if I do, I'm not going to trust God anymore. And I said, you know, I think that maybe if I had cancer, I'd rather go through it with God than without him. with Jesus than without him. And she went. She didn't end up having cancer, but she follows the Lord very faithfully now. And I think she was just really hurting at that time when she said that. But we at our church did a series on Revelation, and it was amazing. I have never really gone through a whole series on Revelation before. And if you haven't done that, I would suggest that you listen to one online. Our church, BethanyBaptistMinistries.org, you could listen to it on there. It was an amazing series. So helpful for me to understand that book. But when I was preparing this session, we were about to do Revelation. We were doing Revelation 5, and it impacted me so much, and it made me realize why we should faithfully follow our good shepherd. The Apostle John, has been caught up into heaven to observe the things that God wants him to see. And the scene in chapter 4 is the dazzling throne room of God. And there are four creatures, they call them beasts, and 24 elders worshiping God. That's the scenario. Then chapter 5, I want to just read that whole chapter to you and just sit and really listen to it. And I think you'll see why we need to follow our good shepherd. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven nor earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith to me, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I behold, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as if it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth unto all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne, out of the hand of God the Father. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hath redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and every tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on earth." And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever." And the four beasts said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. And you know, this is why we choose to follow Jesus. He is the Lamb of God. He is our Savior. And someday he's going to open the scroll, and all judgment and vindication and war against evil will break loose. And we want to be on his side. We want to side with his party. I just love that. And we will be among that every creature that is bowing the knee and worshiping the Lamb of God. I don't know if you ever thought about it, but what an amazing shepherd we have who was also a lamb. He understands being a lamb that was slain. Okay, so temporarily back to earth. How are sheep led in righteousness? Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. The good shepherd's sheep hear his voice, and they simply follow him. We've already talked about straying sheep and how prone we are to wander and how we want our way. But true sheep always have a desire to get back in fellowship with their shepherd, to get back into the flock, and to listen to the shepherd's voice. They side with his party. They accompany him. They are his disciples, and they are discipled by him. And basically what it means to follow is to follow his directions. So how can we faithfully do that? You know, God can use whatever he wants to lead us in right paths, can't he? But there are some things that we all know that we should be doing in order to be refreshed and to restore. And those are what I call the basic Christian disciplines. But I put a heart there because I believe that you can do the basic Christian disciplines out of duty, but God wants us to do it with heart for our shepherd. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. John 10:27. The basic Christian disciplines help us to follow. Basic Christian discipline, number one, is read and study God's word faithfully. Simply spend time with God in his word. And we don't have time to spend a lot of time on this. I could do a whole workshop on devotions, but that's one of the reasons I gave you that little keys for your own God and I time. And I know your churches teach you much about this. So just if you struggle, talk to your pastor's wife. But that little booklet will really help you. Just give you a little guideline for how to spend time in God's word. Basic Christian discipline number two is prayer. And we had a workshop on that. If you need help with learning more how to pray, we talked a lot about some of the ins and outs of prayer. But I would just highly recommend that you have both of those disciplines in your life. Basic Christian discipline number three is... Oops! I always get too ambitious here. Memorize God's word. I just have grown to know more and more the importance of getting God's word in your brain. Colossians 3:1-6 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. And that word dwell in means to be at home in. It means to be at home in your brain. A lot of people say, I can't memorize scripture. Yes, you can. You can memorize lots of things. And even you might be slower at it. Whoops, my thing just caught my shirt. You might be slow at it, but I have this read this quote. No, my husband actually read it and told me it, and I've never forgotten it. He said, it said, eagles may soar, but turtles don't get sucked up into jet engines. I love that. So it's okay to be a turtle in scripture memory. You know, no matter how old you are, you can learn God's word. And you can just, you know, take your time. There's all kinds of methods, all kinds of ways, all kinds of helps that you can put on your phone. But I just think it is one of the most important things we can do. One of my favorite comforting truths is that we have the Holy Spirit. And the older I've gotten, the more I realize what a gift God has given us. Jesus said when he was going to heaven, he said, I will leave you another comforter that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, for it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And the Holy Spirit, any scripture that we have in our brain, he will bring it back to our minds. We can't carry our Bible around with us all the time, except with phones now, that helps. But the scripture that we have in our brain, we can carry around with us, and then the Holy Spirit can bring that to our mind and help us to stay on the path of righteousness. So I just want to challenge you, find a way that works for you. We had a simple way that we did in our family, and I still do it sometimes, but you just take a passage. I like to memorize passages because then you know the context, and it really helps you to to know where it is too, because I'm bad at references, but if I memorize the whole passage, I know that's in Philippians 4 or that's in whatever. And she just said it's called the painless way to memorize scripture. We would read a passage out loud once a day as a family. And you just read it out loud once a day, once a day, once a day. And the kids memorize it. Like within 2 weeks, they have a whole passage memorized. And we had a little scripture book that our whole family had. And we would have all the passages in there. And then we would, you know, have a paper clip and move it. So we would repeat one old passage and one new passage together. It took maybe 5 minutes or less. And you just can get tons of scripture in your brain that way. That's a simple way, but there's all kinds of way to do it. So those are the three of the Christian disciplines. And the fourth one is faithful church participation. God has set up the institution of the local church to help us grow and to one another, each other. And this is the sweet picture of the sheep following their shepherd. Look at that old shepherd. I love him. Just faithfully leading his sheep. There's little lambs in there, and the sheep are just following their shepherd. And that's how we should be. In order for us to survive this life and stay close to our good shepherd, we have to stay close to our good shepherd. And we are led in paths of righteousness by those Christian disciplines that God has given us to help us. And then by the other way is to follow the example of our good shepherd. So the next thing, practice Christian disciplines, but then study Jesus. Christ's example is in the Gospels is so amazing. I just love reading through the Gospels often and just studying Jesus. And in your little keys for your own God and I time, there's a little study that I've done. There's all kinds of them, but on page 4, there are a whole bunch of ideas for getting to know your God. But the last one on page 4 is just a simple little study that you can do. It's kind of an ongoing study that I like to do about Jesus. And what I do is just make up a question and then write the verses in another notebook. Not my What Do I Know About My God book, but my What Do I Know About My Jesus book. So anyway, that might be something that you would really enjoy. Acts 10:38 said how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Jesus spent his life doing good for people. Sometimes it was pointing them to salvation. Most of the time it was that. But he did other things. He healed people. He raised them from the dead. It's so much fun to follow him around through the Gospels and see what he did. He always obeyed his Father and did his will and was humbly submissive to his Father. Jesus always spoke truth. He was a servant. And my husband Ken says that we're to be servants, and we are to be servants of a servant because Jesus was a servant. Jesus loved his Father. Jesus loved people. So we can simply evaluate ourselves. Do I submit? Do I obey? Do I speak truth? Do I love God and others? And do I have a servant's heart? I was getting ready to counsel one of my summer staff in the, I work in the craft shop. There's 9 of us that work down there in the summer, and I get to have 6 college girls every summer for 10 or 11 weeks. And I love that. It's one of my favorite things is working with college kids. It's a special time of life because it's kind of like light bulbs are going off in their mind all the time, and they're learning who God is, and they're learning that they need to have their own relationship with God. And that's one of the things I know you love at Ironwood too, working with young people. They have these internship programs, and it's so wonderful. Cindy and I were talking about that, and I love that. But this particular girl should not have been a staff member. I'm sure you've had some of those before. But she was kind of a project, and we were talked into having her, and she was really not a very godly girl. And I was getting ready to counsel her, and I was telling Ken about it and asking his advice, and he said, when I was telling him about the situation, he said something that really struck a chord with me. He said, it sounds like she didn't add righteousness to our staff. And I thought, ooh, that's right. And that's what your staff are supposed to be doing. But it was also convicting to me because I thought, when I have conversations with different people, do I add righteousness to each conversation that I have with people? Ken was doing a study through the Gospels in preparation for a Sunday school class he was teaching, and he started observing how Jesus added righteousness to every situation, every scene. And he said when Jesus came on the scene, he always added righteousness. And so now when I read through, I start observing some of that. But he also always leads his sheep in paths of righteousness. So it's cool because we too can add righteousness to different situations. Truth number 13, submissive sheep follow their shepherd as he leads them in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. When he speaks to them through his word, they faithfully obey his voice and seek to be like Jesus by adding righteousness to every scene. Okay, let's go to Psalm 23:6. Let's read this one together. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David closes his psalm with this verse. And surely is another 100% word. Certainly, for sure, surely, goodness and mercy. Goodness is, the meaning of that word is good in the widest sense of the word. It's good things, beautiful, bountiful, joyful, kind, pleasant, well-favored, sweet, loving, and airy. You know, most of us kind of know what the word good means. It's all of those things. Mercy means zeal or favor towards someone, especially having a spirit of goodness and kindness and love toward them. And follow, this is a different word meaning for follow. It means pursue or run after. And then all is another 100% word. Let's say it together now. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Why is it that goodness and mercy will follow us and pursue us or run after us all the days of our life? Is it because we're such amazing sheep? No. Nope. It's not because of that. We don't deserve goodness and mercy, do we? But it's because of Jesus. That's why we have goodness and mercy. He alone is always good. And because of our union with Christ, we are in Christ, then he will ever and only do good for his sheep. Psalm 23:5 says, my cup runneth over. And in John 10:10, we mentioned this verse several times, he says, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. That word more abundantly means super abundantly. Have you ever been in a difficult situation or an ongoing trial in your life? Yep, probably most of you have. And experienced God's grace in it? It's amazing, isn't it? And I have found over the years when we go through hard times, it's amazing how God takes care of you even in the midst of a hard time. He does kind things for you. He blesses you. He leads you. And he dumps goodness and mercy on those who are following right behind him. He never, ever, ever takes his goodness and mercy and love off of us. But sheep must trust and follow their shepherd through life, or they won't make it. But the compelling evidence of his goodness is that with him, we are safe and secure for eternity. Let's go to John 10. Let's read these verses. And notice the 100% words in this. Eternal is a 100% word. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And then verse 30 says, I and my Father are one. In verse 28, he gives us eternal life, and he says that his sheep will never perish, and no man can pluck them out of his hand. Once we're saved, we follow him right to eternal life in heaven. That's really cool. That little picture of the path, you know, leading to bright future. And sometimes when they talk about the valley of shadow, you pass through it. And even if the valley of the shadow is death, sometimes it's just a dark trial. But there's light at the end. It doesn't end in the dark valley unless you're not one of his sheep. He gives them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no man can pluck them out of his hand. When we're saved, we don't have to get saved over and over again. Many of the campers who come to the Wilds, and I'm sure at Ironwood, are doubting their salvation. They always are wanting assurance of their salvation. Many of you have probably been there or could be there even now. But we don't have to keep getting saved over and over and keep praying the same prayer over and over. Because once we're saved, now you have to be sure you're saved, but once we're saved, no one can ever take us out of the Father's hand. We are eternally secure. Verse 29, his Father, who gave the sheep to Jesus, is greater than all. And it says that no man is able to pluck them out of the Father's hand either. I have a little illustration I like to give. And when I deal with girls that are not saved, I always ask them this question, I mean, who are not saved, who are doubting their salvation. I always ask this question. I say, do you want to be saved? And they say, yes. And I say, do you think Jesus would not save you if you want to be saved? And it's like, oh, well, of course. You know, sometimes we think we didn't pray the right prayer, we didn't say the right words, we weren't good enough, we didn't have faith enough, we didn't believe it enough. But if you truly want to be saved, Jesus will save you, because we're not depending on our words or our faith or our action. We're depending on his words. He says, call unto me. Whosoever will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you want to be saved, he's going to save you. I have this little teeny tiny sheep here. I know you can't see him very well, but he's so cute. And this is a perfect illustration. When you're saved, you are in Christ's hand. And then you are in God's hand. Isn't that cool? No one can pluck you out of Christ's hand and God's hand when you are his sheep. So I love that little illustration. Hope that'll be an encouraging one to you. And though we fail, if we humble ourselves and get faithfully back to following him, then in 1 Peter 5:4 it says, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. That's our goal in going down the path. Truth 14, sheep should be overflowing with gratitude because of who their shepherd is and because of his never-ending goodness, mercy, comfort, compassion, and care for them. Sheep are eternally secure in Christ's hand and in God the Father's hand, and no one can ever pluck them out. Surely, let's say it again together. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I want to give you one more little word picture. It's a fun one. I hope you can see. This is slanted, so I can't really put it on here, but hopefully you can see. This is one of my Hallmark sheep that sits in my little sheep bathroom, a shepherd with his sheep. All right, so here's the good shepherd. All right. And then we'll take our little cast sheep who's not cast anymore, and we'll follow him. Can you see our little cast sheep following behind the shepherd? Okay, stay there. Okay. This is how it is when we're following our shepherd. And the weak little lambs, sometimes he has to carry. And sometimes it's the elderly lambs that he has to carry. But we're to follow as close behind our shepherd as we can. Not kind of wander off to the back of the flock. Not stray away off into the wilderness. But to stay right behind. Stay there. See, he's the one that likes to be cast. He's trying to wander away. But then, this is cool. This is another little sheep that lives in my bathroom. He came from Romania. My grandson brought him back from Romania for me, a little fuzzy sheep. But goodness and mercy pursues the sheep because of Christ. But then I love this. It says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. When we have goodness and mercy dumped on top of us, it can also follow us and be dumped onto others. And we can practice showing goodness and mercy to other sheep. And that should be our goal in life, to just constantly love others and be showing them the way to follow the shepherd and living your life to make a difference for eternity. And that's a really neat little word picture. Okay. Truth number 15. Because the good shepherd is good and great, goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our lives, and we should in turn leave a trail of goodness and mercy behind us as we love others and point them to God. So your little take-home truths will be those 15 truths that we've learned this weekend. And just in summary, reality is that if we know Jesus as our Savior, we are sheep, and we have the Good Shepherd to kindly provide for us, protect us, and guide us. Reality is that our Good Shepherd knows and loves each of his sheep and wants us to have a loving relationship and growing relationship with him. That was session two. Session three, reality is that sheep are foolish and often stray from their Good Shepherd, but he wants to refresh and restore their souls. And session four, reality is that faithful sheep follow their good shepherd in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And when they do, goodness and mercy shall follow them all through life and on to eternity. I want to give you one more little illustration from my mom. She collected these figurines called Hummels. Do any of you know what a Hummel is? They were German-made figurines. And my dad was in the military, and we lived in France for 3 years in my growing up years, fifth grade through eighth grade. And my mom fell in love with Hummels because they were made in Germany, which was right on the border of France. And so in the Army PX, they sold Hummels very inexpensively. They were, and my mom had, we would buy them for every birthday, Christmas. She had these huge ones, like, you know, great big Hummels, bookends and all kinds of things. They were worth thousands of dollars at the time. But one day I was visiting her when she was older. She had sold a bunch of her Hummels because of having to make a move and needing some money. And I was visiting with her, and I said, Mom, I've never seen that Hummel before. And I said, I love it. It just really is beautiful. Well, I shouldn't have said that, because the next thing I know, I got a package in the mail. I was in North Carolina, she was in New Hampshire. And I opened the package, and here's what it was. And along with Clark, right in line in our bedroom, this little one sits on the shelf right in my eyesight next to my bed. And it reminds me that I am a sheep, and I have a good shepherd who loves me. And look how he looks at the sheep and how the sheep looks at him. Psalm 79:13, so we are thy people and sheep of thy pasture. Oh, wait, I'm sorry, let me start over. For we, thy people and sheep of thy pasture, will give thee thanks forever and will show forth thy praise to all generations. All right, let's say this. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you for being our good and great and kind shepherd. Take care of these ladies, Lord, and bless each one in Jesus' name. Amen.